Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all?
Nope,
because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it.
Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry, and I'm so happy you're here. It's been a good week. I hope your week has been good. It was a really good week. You know those weeks where there's just kind of lightness in the air and happiness and no crises. Our house is usually very busy, so. And it was also a week where like all of my kids had like big successes this week across the board. They were really some great wins and successes. So, you know, as a mom, that always makes you feel good, because when your kids aren't okay, you know how it is. You're not okay. So that's always good. Let's see what else. We started watching the show Palm Royale. Really good. Really, really good. I mean, I love the 60s vibe too, but Kristen Wiig is really good in it, like shockingly good. She, you know, because we know her from Bridesmaids, so she's fucking hilarious in Bridesmaids, but she, I don't know, her character is really good. So we just got started. I'm on episode 2. I will say, if you guys don't know about croissant toast, let me just tell you right now, you have got to get croissant toast. I know it's on Fresh Direct and I know it's at Whole Foods. You guys, let me just tell you, I had two pieces, I will admit, two pieces right before I came down to record, and it's the most glorious thing of my life, I think. Just fantastic. And I will also say, this is not a paid advertisement for croissant toast, but if you can find croissant toast, you need to find it. You absolutely need to find it. It's so fucking good. So let's see. Oh, okay. I'm going to start with a joke only because, because I thought it might be fun to, I feel like this episode is going to be a little intense, a little weighty. So I thought we'd open with a joke this time. A grasshopper walks into a bar. The bartender looks at him and says, "Hey, they named a drink after you." "Really?" replies the grasshopper. "There's a drink named Stan." I also love that, because if you're watching Palm Royale, you know that her signature drink is the grasshopper. So every time I see creme de coco cacao, I always think of her ordering her grasshopper drink. I've never had a grasshopper. I don't know even what's in it. It's green. It looks fun, but I feel like that's a little deceiving. I feel like drinks that look fun usually are not fun, but I don't know. Maybe we'll make a grasshopper. Maybe the Character Outs community can make a grasshopper and critique it and get together and talk about if we like a grasshopper cocktail or not. Maybe it's just going to be the most fabulous thing and we don't know about it. I don't know. All right. So last night, I knew I wanted to do this episode for a while, and the topic is when your toxic family chooses your ex. Mm-hmm. Anyone out there whose toxic family discarded them and chose their ex, or maybe didn't discard them, maybe just plain chose your ex over you, whatever form that looked like for you. I'm going to share my story, and that's what we're gonna do. But before we get started, of course, I have this song that that I want to share, and I think because this episode is gonna take me way back, one of the very first songs that I ever heard that really brought me to my knees, because I was feeling so alone and feeling so discarded. It was when we had been kicked out. I had nobody. And I shouldn't say nobody, I had my father at the time, but I was just feeling so broken and alone, and I used to go to the beach and just sit there. That was like my therapy, and I remember going to the beach, and actually it was during the time the movie This Is 40, I believe it was called, This Is 40, and it was like my life was ending. Now, I love that movie, but in that movie, there's a song by Brit Nicole, and in the movie, when she realizes that, you know, she needs to leave her husband, she walks out to the beach, and this song is playing, and I put it in my playlist, and then, you know, one tough day I went down to the beach and I played the song, and I think I just sat there and stared at the ocean. And I think that was back in my non-crying days, which I talk about, because I didn't used to cry ever. It wasn't until I really had processed, I'm still processing, but processed my trauma, processed everything that has happened, and got on anxiety medication and depression medication, and started pouring into myself, that I really began to release my emotions. But anyway, I'm sitting at the beach, and I just remember staring at the ocean and just allowing these lyrics to float over me. So I will link this song in the show notes, but I'm just gonna sing my favorite part of it. You're gonna make it. The night can only last for so long. Whatever you're facing, if your heart is breaking, there's a promise for the ones that just hold on. Lift up your eyes and see. The sun is rising. Oh my gosh. You know, whatever you're facing, you're gonna make it. I know it may not feel like you're gonna make it, but you're gonna fucking make it. Even if you're feeling completely alone, and even if you are completely alone, you're gonna make it. This no contact journey is rough, but you're gonna make it. So let's get started on the topic of today's episode, shall we? Okay, so I'm gonna start at the end and bring it back to the beginning, but I want to start at the end because it was just iconic. So again, I've wanted to speak about this topic for a long time. And last night, my daughter and I were having fun and having some cocktails, and you know, so of course, what do? We go to our fake Facebook account. We stalk our family members. Yep. Yep. And other people that, we don't talk to, but we, you know, want to stalk them. Is that wrong? Well, we do it. Okay. So there. So we're on the fake Facebook account, and we went to my ex-husband's Facebook page, and there's a picture of him, and he just got engaged. We look, and my daughter goes, mom, you're not ready. Mom, you're not ready. You're not fucking ready. I'm like, what? I'm like, who commented? I'm like, Gia? And she was like, no, worse. And it was my brother. My fucking brother commented on my ex-husband's post that he was getting married. And my brother's like, congratulations, bro, with two little emojis. I'm like, What kind of fuckery did I actually normalize, you know? So we scrolled a little more, and my brother had also commented on his New Year's post. Happy New Year, bro. Happy New Year, bro. This is my brother commenting on my ex-husband's Facebook picture. Yeah. Yeah. And now to some who don't come from a toxic family, they'd probably be like, Terry, you're being so fucking trivial. Like, who cares? Okay. It was funny because my daughter and I are standing there, and we're like, she goes, mom, we need to make a reel right now. Right now, we need to make a reel about this right now. So we literally made a reel about it, and I released it this morning on Instagram. And yeah, it's like wrapping your head around the fuckery. Like, is this real life? Because let me tell you right now, I haven't gotten a Happy New Year text. My children haven't gotten a Happy New Year text from their uncle. And that's the fucked up thing too. And like my daughter was saying, she's like, I'm a grown ass woman. Like, let's talk about the fuckery that my uncle has no idea what's going on in my life, and he can comment. And you might say, again, you might say, oh, it's just a comment. But it goes deeper than that, because my fucking brother doesn't talk to me or my kids. Now, I wouldn't answer the phone if my brother called. Let's just talk about that right now. Like, he's so toxic. I shut that relationship down. I never had a conversation with him and telling him I was going to shut it down, but I blocked him because he was too toxic. But again, like, he's made zero attempt to reach out. My kids haven't blocked him. It's so fucked up. And the fact that I normalized it for so fucking long. So now I'll go back to the beginning. I learned very early on in my marriage that if I talk bad about my spouse, especially to my mother, that it changed the mood when we would go over for dinner, when we would go out, when we would go show up for holidays, because my mother would be so over the top toxic to him and I didn't like the mood. And so what did I learn? I learned very quickly to keep my mouth shut. I never badmouthed. I never said anything that was going on in our marriage. And you know, nothing terrible happened. It was just a very flatline, unsupportive, dead, you know, kind of marriage. The things that really cut me deeply, I never shared with anybody. I never shared with my brother, with my mother. I wasn't talking to my father for most of my first marriage, but I never shared anything with me because I learned there's fallout. So I zipped my mouth. Probably the first few months of my marriage, I learned and I zipped my mouth. So in my toxic family's defense, they were blindsided by my divorce. They were like, I thought everything was fine. And I remember I had told my mom that everything was not fine. I had told her, you know, I'm not happy. We were actually living with her at the time. I remember coming home one day and knowing that I needed to move forward with the divorce proceedings for myself. And I was, you know, going to have that conversation with my then husband. And I remember getting out of the car and just dropping to my knees in the driveway in front of my mom. And I was just like, I'm not happy. I don't like who I am. I'm not happy. I need to get a divorce. Like, I do. I'm not happy. And she was totally blindsided. She was just like, I thought everything was fine. But even then, as I started to unpack to her, you know, the emotional ways that I felt failed and abandoned. And I was very involved Christian at the time. And I was like, well, you know what the church says, like the only grounds for divorce is adultery. And I used to like hope he would like cheat on me because I was like, good, I'd have a reason to leave. But you know, there was no domestic violence. He never cheated on me. So it was like, well, what do I do then? I just have to stay, you know? So when I began to unpack everything to my mom, you know, she actually did. She was just like, you know, I had no idea. Like, I'm here for you, which was really shocking now looking back. It's creepy to look back now. It's like, I wonder if she said that to draw more out of me, right? Because it didn't end with her supporting me. So we had a conversation. It was I literally said to my ex-husband, I don't like who I am with you. When I'm with you, that's not on you, that's on me. And you're a wonderful person. You know, you've given me three beautiful children, and I feel like it would be best if you went and found someone who loves you like you deserve, because I don't love you that way, you know? I said, so, you know, I think we should get a divorce. And he goes, okay. And that was it. There was no fighting. There was no nothing. We went out to lunch with the kids. And then at the time we were renting an apartment, but also living with my mother, and he packed things. We just said to the kids, you know, they had seen it because we had been back and forth and back and forth, separated to back together for about 3 years. So I think the kids knew, you know, when my mom and dad got divorced, it wasn't so much the divorce that scarred me. It was the conversation of when they told me, mom and dad are getting a divorce. And I just remember throwing my head back on the bed. I can see the lighting in my mother's room. I can see my father walking out the door. It's so weird. Totally 70s vibes in my mind. And that was more hurtful and traumatic and stinging than the actual fact that my dad was leaving, because he really wasn't around anyway. And I didn't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to be like this dramatic conversation like, daddy's leaving, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not minimizing if some of you did have that conversation. I don't mean to insult you like that, but that was just how I just didn't want to present it to them like that. And everybody has to do whatever they need to do for their own children and their own family. But so It was very nonchalant. It was like, yeah, dad's going to live at the apartment now and mom and dad aren't together anymore. And that's it. Want to go to lunch? Yeah, sure. And so that was it. Well, what happened was at that moment, I felt free. I felt like I wasn't divorced anymore. Clearly, my husband never fought for me for 16 years. Clearly, when I said I want a divorce, he said, okay. Clearly, he's on board, right? Like, everything was fine. Like, so I felt free. And listen, my ex-husband was fine, too. There were no tears. There was no, please don't leave me. Oh, the kids. There was none of that. So we were handling our house, and everything was fucking fine, right? Well, at that time, because I had been in a very loveless 16-year marriage, I started going out. I started going out with friends. I started having fun. And that's when I really noticed the pressure, the overwhelming, booming pressure from my mother, because I really think that she thought, well, great, now that you're divorced and now that he's gone, I can have you all to myself and we'll snuggle and watch movies and you'll make me dinner and, you know, keep the wine coming and I'll be yours forever. And I really, really believe that she never wanted me to move on, never wanted me to leave her. And so when I started going out, she saw it as a threat. And I think I've told the story before, but I was out with my friend and we were just having fun, like at like a bar across the street. And she texted me and she was just like, where are you? And it was literally 9:30. And I'm like, oh, I'm at this, you know, at this place. Well, who are you with? And I told her, like, again, I'm being like berated and barraged with texts from my mom in my 30s. And we were having fun. We were doing karaoke. I was with a really fun friend. And I was texting her. I'm like, I'm fine. I'll be home later. And she's like, I want you home now. And I need you to call me because I'm not sure I believe that this is you. I was like, what? Like, did she think like, I think she like someone had my phone. She wanted to hear my voice and make sure it was me. So I remember going to a quiet place. I'm like, hello, like it's me. I'm fine. She's like, why are you still out? What are you doing? And I was just like, I'm fine. Like, and at that point I like was like, fuck, like you, like the whole night was ruined. So I went to my friend. I'm like, I have to go home. Like my mom called me and she looked at me. She literally looked at me. She goes, you're going home because of your mom? Me in my 30s. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta go home. So I went home. My mother then at that time brought, I call them the coven. It was all the church girls, all the church pastors' wives. They all came to the house and they were holding flowers and cookies and they sat me down and they tried to talk me out of getting a divorce. And again, same with my group of friends. They were completely blindsided because I never badmouthed my husband. I never did. It just got to be a habit. And now that I think about it, I wonder if I fell into that so easily because I was never allowed to talk about my trauma regarding my toxic family. You were never allowed to talk about it. So I just find it interesting that I carried that over into my marriage too. And so my friends were like, you know, you can't get divorced. And they didn't want to hear. And honestly, like when you don't talk about trauma for 16 years and then someone's going, oh, well, you can't leave. Like, How do you even unpack that, you know? And then I felt just like sad and on the defensive, like, can you guys just believe me that I'm like, I'll unpack it later. Like, I'll be happy to like sit down with you and tell you why, but like, can you just support me right now? And then all of a sudden I heard that there was a rumor flying around that I was having an affair. And then all of a sudden my ex-husband was going to church with the friends who had completely cut me off. And I was like, huh, like what's happening? So back to my mother, she began to amp up the control. She began to amp up the narrative that, why are you dressing like a thug? Why do you look that way? What are you doing with yourself? You know, she would give me tasks to do to keep me home. She would need me for something in order to keep me home. And so I know at this point you're thinking, wait a second, Terry, you're talking a lot about your ex-husband, a lot about your mom. I'm getting there. So here I am. I had people mad at me that I didn't understand why they were mad at me. One friend, I thought she was my friend. She was actually talking to my mom behind my back and she was just gathering intel. And went right back to my mom and spun whatever I said It's just so fucked up.
So around that time, I became like a workout freak. Like I was doing boot camp at 5 a.m. every day. I began running. And so I met a whole bunch of new people. And then all of a sudden, I would notice that my mom and my ex-husband were like friends with them on Instagram and Facebook too. But I had met them through an activity that I was doing all by myself. And I was like, what? Like, he's not my husband anymore. I mean, legally, yes, he was. But I was like, what is happening? And all of a sudden, I noticed that their treatment became very judgmental. And they began dropping like flies. They, one after the other, one after the other. And I remember being in my kitchen and one friend that I was pretty close with, I'll never forget, it was Instagram was kind of new. And I saw that my mother had commented on her post and said something like, oh, your children are so blessed. Like, I wish my grandchildren had such a wonderful mother like you. And I remember like wanting to simultaneously scream, jump off the roof, throw my phone. And I was like, and the bitch liked it. Like she liked that fucking comment from my mother. And I'm like, who is on my side? And what did I do to be so isolated? Like literally what the fuck is happening? So next thing you know, after my mother kicked me out and I had no contact. Don't forget, I still had to communicate with my ex-husband. And I would hear things through the kids, like things that my mother would say about me when they were with my ex-husband. You know, like all of a sudden I found out that they were going to my brother's house for Easter, or they went out to dinner with my mom, and my kids would come home crying, saying that Gia had said all these bad things about me. So then I had to have a conversation with my ex-husband and say, listen, clearly my mother is bad-mouthing me. My children are hearing it. It's in front of my children. It needs to stop. So my first boundary was, I need you to stop bringing them around my mother. It's damaging to them. I'm not sitting around talking bad about her. It's damaging to them. It's damaging potentially to our relationship. It needs to stop. Well, it didn't stop. It kept going. And now looking back, like the fact that I normalized, like I didn't get mad at my ex-husband at the time. It was just so normal. I felt so guilty that I was getting a divorce. I felt like a terrible person. I felt like a whore that my mom called me, that I'm actually, you know, moving on with my life. Like I really embraced the narrative that everything was my fault and anything that I was getting, I deserved. My mother invited my ex-husband to come on like the summer vacation. We used to go to this hotel in Fort Lauderdale every year, and she invited him and my kids and not me. And I remember sitting on the porch and just crying and being like, what the fuck is life? And I always looked at my ex-husband like, oh, well, he's just like, you know, an innocent bystander. Like, he just doesn't get it. But he didn't fucking, number one, respect my boundary. And he didn't, number two, think it was fucked up at all. Like, he enjoyed the narrative. I think that he enjoyed playing the martyr. I think that he enjoyed, you know, playing this, oh, poor soul whose wife left him. He wasn't protecting me. He wasn't protecting the integrity of my relationship with my children. And I remember sitting like, it was like so like spinning. And I'm sitting on the porch crying because, you know, that summer vacation, we'd been doing that since, I mean, I was pregnant with my 16-year-old. We'd always gone there. It was the cousins and it was my family vacation. And the funny thing is, my ex-husband would fucking complain all the time about being there. He hated being there. He was working. He didn't want to be there. He left early most of the time. They'd go there for a week and he'd come a couple days and then leave. He would be just a grouch, right? And I'm like, now you're going on vacation with my family and my kids? So it was at that moment that I'm like, okay, I don't want to be selfish. And I don't want to be like, no, you can't go. But then I'm like, but is it wrong that
I don't want them to go. How I came to the decision that I didn't let them go, I tried to pull myself out of it, because as painful as it was to be rejected and watch your ex-husband celebrate holidays and now family vacations with your family that has cut you off, I was like, well, would it make the kids happy? And I thought, yeah, it maybe, but at what price? And what is that teaching them? That it's okay to disrespect their mother, that it's okay for honestly, for their father to disrespect their mother in that way? So I remember them coming to me, and I said to them, you know, I understand that you've been invited to go to the beach trip. And I said, I need you to know I wasn't invited. And they didn't know that. They thought I had been invited. And it makes me wonder again, you know, the narrative of what would have been said had I gone along with it. Well, I don't want them to miss out on a fun beach trip. Had I sent my children with my toxic family, first of all, who knows? A week with my toxic family and I'm not around? Are you kidding me? A week with the father that wasn't protecting the integrity of their mother's character? Are you kidding me? What does that look like? So mom wasn't invited. Now what? One of my kids surely would have said, wait, why isn't mom here? Can you imagine what excuse that they would have fucking come up with? Can you fucking imagine? And they're babies. So I had to step in and I had to rescue them. I had to stand in the gap at that moment. And I didn't want them to feel bad, and I didn't want to make them responsible. But I just remember saying, you know, mom wasn't invited. And that's not really okay with me. I understand your grandmother's talking really bad things about me right now. And so I'm not comfortable with it. And all their three faces just fell. And they were like, you weren't invited? Like, no. And they're like, we don't want to go then. And that made my job easier, because had they been like, well, we want to go, you know, I'm like, well, fuck. And that was that. And they didn't go. And I'm not sure, honestly, if my ex-husband went with them or not. I really don't know. But as all of these things are unfolding, and as we're legally separating and dealing with the divorce, I was bold enough to ask my attorney to put into my divorce agreement that the children are not allowed to be around their maternal grandmother. And I remember first sheepishly coming to the attorney and being like, can I do that? She goes, you can do whatever the hell you want. She goes, if they're going to be a danger to your child, you could do whatever the hell you want. I was like, okay, well, let's do it. So there's an entire paragraph in my MSA that says the children are not allowed to be not only unattended with the maternal grandmother, they're not allowed to be in the presence of her, even with the father present. So that was in black and white in my divorce agreement. So our very first Christmas that we had been kicked out, again, we were kicked out in October, and here's Christmas in December, we had nothing, no money. My ex wasn't paying child support. I was living with, you know, my boyfriend at the time. I hadn't started working yet. Had nothing. And it was a tough Christmas. It was tough. That was the Christmas. He got them Christmas Day. I had them Christmas Eve. So I had to give them over on Christmas Eve night. And I remember just like going to bed and crying. But, you know, Christmas Eve was our Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve was our Christmas Day, if that makes sense. Because, you know, when you're going through a divorce, like, you have to embrace whatever day it is. Like, it's just, I just had to look at it like it's a day on the calendar. So I'm going to be with my kids no matter what, at whatever time it is. And that's the day that we'll celebrate. And thankfully, my ex-boyfriend's family was in town, who they saved my life. They absolutely saved my life. And I remember we made meatballs and made it fun, and they bought the kids some presents, but they literally got like nothing that year. But I remember everyone was just happy and we were together. So turned them over to my ex-husband on Christmas Eve, and well, when they got to the house, there was a tree, ornaments, all these fucking presents on Christmas morning. And my daughter's not dumb, and she's like, she knew. She texted me on Christmas Day. She was like, there are all these presents here, and I'm pretty sure they're not from dad. Like, she knew. I think she was 13. Yes, she was 13 at the time.
And last night she said to me, she goes, Mommy, you need to make sure you tell that Christmas story. She goes, because I fucking knew. I knew that the presents were bought by Gia. I knew that they weren't from Dad. I recognized Gia's handwriting, but yet also, what the fuck is going on? And I remember my daughter said, she's like, you need to tell your audience just to always be honest. Because, you know, my daughter said last night, she's like, I'm so thankful that I could come to you and say, this is my perception. This is what I'm seeing. And I gave her the platform to speak. Now, again, it goes back to, I never opened a conversation with, oh yeah, your fucking father, or your fucking grandmother. I never did. But when the kids saw something and they came to me, I validated them and I answered the questions that they wanted to answer. And we talked about it. And she said to me last night, she's like, thank you for giving me that space, because I would have been making her crazy. It would have been gaslighting her if I would have protected, continued to protect my ex-husband, continued to protect my mother, and be like, oh no, it's you know, Santa, whatever, da da da. No. And like, honestly, like, good for my fucking strong 13-year-old daughter who called me and was just like, this is weird. You know? So the last time, I'll never forget, I was with my boyfriend. We used to have this tradition of just like ordering some food and sitting and, I don't know, watching a game or watching a show or whatever. So we had just sat down and I got a text from my daughter that says, Gia is here. And that they were with their father that weekend. I think it was a Saturday night. I was like, what do you mean Gia is here? Where are you? She's like, we're at a restaurant. I was like, which restaurant? So I was like, I'll be right there. So my boyfriend came with me and we drove to the restaurant. I was literally dying inside. Emotions of what the fuck, hurt, betrayal. Also thinking of my kids, like, fuck, I'm gonna now storm in there. Shit. Am I gonna harm them for life? I'm gonna scar them for life. So we park. I remember getting out of the car. I remember a typical Florida restaurant. They were eating outside. And I remember my mother locked eyes with me and she put her head down. And I saw my kids sitting at the table with her. And I went by the hostess stand and I locked eyes with my ex-husband. And I like pointed him to come here. I was like, come here. And I'll never forget walking to the side of the restaurant, the back of the restaurant where no one could hear. And I said, you signed an agreement. I've told you a million times. I do not want our children around my mother. She's terrible. She's toxic. She talks bad about me. But yet, here you are out to dinner with my mother and my kids. What the fuck? And I very calmly looked at him. I said, you have two choices. You can either leave with our children and go somewhere else, or you can stay and ask my mother to leave, or I take my kids with me. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I'm not gonna ask your mom to leave. And I said, okay, well then my kids are coming with me. And I sent him back to the table and gathered the kids. We all got in the car. I was trying not to cry. And the kids were a little shell-shocked. Like, they hadn't even eaten yet. They had their little, you know, cups of soda, their little plastic cups of soda. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, like, all right, like, again, we had no fucking money. And there was a part of me that felt bad. I'm like, I just took them out of a, you know, what would have been maybe a really nice meal for them. But, you know, sacrifices, a meal, or the infiltration of manipulation and disgusting, toxic, insidious poison, right? So I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, well, Little Caesar's pizza is cheap. So we went, we got a Little Caesar's pizza, and we went home and we ate. And we didn't talk about it, which is interesting. I would have talked about it with my kids, I think, on their level. The kids didn't, they weren't crying. They didn't say, we want to stay with Gia. Why did you pick us up? They calmly got in the car. They didn't ask. We sat, we had our Little Caesar's pizza. And my daughter, though, was like, what the fuck, Mom? Like, I thought we weren't allowed to be around her. And I was just like, I'm so sorry you were put in that situation where you had to call me. Like, I'm
so sorry. She was like, fuck that. Like, that's my baby at 13, right? No wonder she's so feisty, 23, you know? But yeah, I couldn't believe at the time that my ex-husband chose my mother over having a meal with his children. And I've always said on this podcast, my ex-husband's just, he's a good man. He never did anything with malicious intent. But that brings me to my point right now. You know, I feel like we need to normalize growing, evolving, and changing, constantly looking at our situations, looking at the people, looking at them for how they're behaving and what you're allowing in your life. I feel like haters will say, oh, what, you think everyone's a narcissist? No. Oh, you think everyone's toxic? Like, no, but you know, if it's fucking walking like a duck and acting like a duck, then, you know, and again, it doesn't have to have a label. If someone's behavior is making you feel icky, then it's icky. So take a minute. It doesn't have to be a total, you know, no contact situation, get the fuck out of my life situation. It doesn't have to be like that, but let's normalize looking around every once in a while and looking around at how people are treating us. Because I really do feel like it's because of our traumatic childhood, it's because of the treatment of our toxic families and our narcissistic parents that it has forced us into this healing place. Not a lot of people are on a healing journey, and we have to. And if they are, then great, and we can evolve together and change together. But I think it goes back to wanting to be the nice girl, wanting to protect. Oh, I want to protect my ex-husband. Like, no, he did some shitty things. He did some really shitty things. And most recently, I'm just going to lay it out there, I asked him to be on the podcast. Now, mind you, this whole restaurant incident was fucking 10 years ago. And things have been very good with my ex-husband. You know, no, again, we didn't fight in our marriage. We sure should don't fight after the divorce. But I've just watched. I've sat back and watched some character things that have bothered me. But I still said, oh, but he's such a good man. He's such a good man. He's such a good man. Oh, he's such a good man. And I think that's because I didn't want to be that girl who was like, everyone's toxic. Well, am I the problem? Do you know what I'm saying? So recently I asked him to be on the podcast and I'm like, listen, I have a lot of people reaching out about toxic in-laws. Like, how cool, because you and I have a friendship, would it be if you came on the podcast and spoke about your experience? Because let's be honest, like, that's what the comical fucking thing was. My family fucking hated him the 16 years that we were married. Hated him. Bad-mouthed him. Why do you think I kept silent and never spoke about him negatively to my family? They fucking hated him. They trashed him for 16 years. Treated him like shit, right? Oh, especially my mother, especially my brother. And now you're aligning with my fucking family? And that was okay. And I think, again, I've thought it was okay because I felt so guilty. Well, I left, you know, and I'm just like, we're just so used to being mistreated. Like, yeah, that's I deserve it. Like, I need to keep up, you know, keep up the facade of things. Like, I deserve being treated like that. No. So I asked him to be on the podcast. And I said, listen, you know, go talk to your girlfriend, make sure she's cool with it. I said, listen, and I wrote him because I had questions. I said, you know, this is what we will talk about. This is what we won't talk about. I'm like, I'm not going to talk about our marriage. I was like, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to talk about, I'm not going to bring any of your sins. Like, I'm not going to talk about that. I was like, we're strictly going to talk about how you navigated, how it felt to be around this toxic mother-in-law, because she fucking was. I watched it. I watched her mistreat him. And he responded and said, oh, hey, Tara, I'll be on your podcast, but I won't talk about your family. And I remember I had a friend over and my husband was there and my daughter, and I started crying. I started fucking crying. And I looked around and I was like, why am I crying? Why am I crying at this email? Why am I crying at this right now? Why is this hurt? Why do I feel abandoned and slapped in the face all over again? And my husband looked at me and he goes, that's because you've been abandoned and slapped in the face for forever by him. And it was such a difficult thing to embrace because I didn't want to look at him like that, I think, because he's the father of my kids. I didn't want to look at him like that. But then I realized all the shitty things that I had normalized, all the shitty things that he got away with. And not only in our marriage, but the 10 years that we post-divorce. And it it set me into a funk. If you listen to my episode, are in a funk same. I feel emboldened enough now to tell you that that's what it was about. And I didn't want to talk bad about my ex-husband. I didn't want to talk about that. But I feel like I need to talk about how it's okay if you leave people behind. Maybe their behavior was acceptable then, but it's not acceptable now. And so I had to draw a boundary line with my ex-husband. And, you know, it's like you battle with that. I battle with that because I'm like, oh, look at me. Another one bites the dust, you know, like I gaslight myself. But I feel like, you guys, I feel like we need to normalize. Whoa, that was really shitty how you treated me. And that was okay for yesterday me, but it's not okay for today me. And there was no big fight. I think I sent it. I know I sent him an email and I was just like, that hurt more than you know. And I didn't attack him. I wasn't a bitch. I really wasn't. And I got no response. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, like they say you marry people like your toxic family, and I never wanted to see it, but maybe I did. And I needed to bring that in, even though it's yucky and icky and feels icky to talk about it, but I needed to bring it in because I thought I deserved my ex-husband treating me that way, not protecting me then. I realized when I went no contact with my mother that I didn't deserve it from her, but I feel like, you know what, wherever you are in your life, like, it's okay to take a step back and be like, that's shitty. I thought you were a nice person and I kept that narrative going for so fucking long, but that's really shitty. That's my experience with my toxic family choosing my ex-husband over me. And you know, it was deep too. Like my mother would give him money. My brother, of course, who wasn't talking to me, and he would always host the family events. And again, I said the vacations, but it was just like, so I normalized it. It was just like, yeah. And then you look back and you're like, oh my fucking God. I honestly let them back in my life after that? You know what I mean? Because don't forget, I reconciled with my mother after that. And I allowed my brother back in my life when he ignored me for 2 years. He ignored me. My father would say, you know, your sister could really use a brother right now. I can't take it. I can't handle it. Oh, bah, 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 bah. I can't handle it. I can't handle her right now. La, la, la. He chose not to be there for me. And then all of a sudden I'm back in contact with my mother, and everything that he did, his silence to me and his alliance with my ex-husband was just like, what? Sorry. What is life? What is happening? And so full circle, it's like, all these years have gone by. And now I'm no contact with my family. Definitely no contact with my brother, my mother, my stepmother, my father. But they're still chummy. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Happy New Year, bro. Happy birthday, bro. You think my daughter got a text for her birthday? Any of my daughters? I think my son got a text? Nope. I've talked about it on the last episode. I didn't get a fucking birthday text. I didn't get a Happy New Year text. He wasn't even at my wedding. But yet he's congratulating my ex-husband on his new... Like, what? Like, make it make sense. Make it make sense. So, I don't have much advice, like, this episode, you guys. I just really wanted to use this episode as kind of a story to tell you, to validate you, and to let you know that if this has happened to you, you didn't fucking deserve it, and it was not normal. It's not normal. It's not normal for families to side with their exes. Now, of course, there's extenuating circumstances, right? Like, please, no, I hope you guys know where I'm coming from with that. But in toxic family narcissistic situations, it's not fucking normal, you guys. So if it's been done to you, I am so sorry. You didn't deserve it. You deserve better. And I think the other takeaway that I hope that you guys get is it's okay to look around at relationships as they unfold, as they behave, or even look back at past. And maybe you have a conversation. And that's what I had hoped. You know, I didn't want to cut off my ex-husband. I mean, he's the father of, you know, of my kids. I didn't want that. So it's okay to evaluate and go, you know what? That was shitty. And if you need to have a conversation with that person, have a conversation. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it's okay to move on. It's fucking okay to move on. And I feel like we can get so like wrapped up in, well, I don't want to like I need to be nice. Like I can't, I'm the toxic one if I just kick everyone out of my life. No, fucking no. You're the one on your healing journey. You're the one growing and changing and evolving. And if someone doesn't suit your life, it's okay to let them go. Okay. All right. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I really hope and pray none of you can relate with this episode because it's really fucked up. Feel free to email me, characteroutspodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to visit my website, characteroutspodcast.com. Lots of resources. The blog is on there. I also have a link to, I'm offering right now a free 30-minute chat call if you're in need of advice, like now, if you're facing something with your toxic family that you're just like, I just need to talk to someone who gets it. I get it. I'm not a therapist, but just consider me a friend who gets it. So I want to be here for you. That's it, you guys. I hope wherever you are that you're feeling empowered, that you're feeling worthy, that you're feeling loved, and that the narrative of your toxic families is slowly quieting. That's what I hope, because you are actually a badass for walking away. They didn't deserve you. I'm just gonna say it. So, cheers till next time, friends.